Take off your pants! Unleash your true self. Real unicorns don't wear pants.
Oh, hey, money-making unicorns. Are you a team player? Some of us are and some of us are not. I'm a team player under some very specific set of circumstances, mainly when I'm in charge. Truth be told, I don't really like teamwork. This is something that really irks me. Like, remember being in school and having group projects, right? Who were you in the group project unit? If there were four of you, like there were four people playing a certain role in here, and one of those people was doing all of the motherfucking work, right? Like that was like the A student, high achieving, like overproducing kind of person that was a control motherfucking freak. That was me, right? Doing all of the work. Then you have like on the other side of the spectrum, the slacker who's doing none of the work, who absolutely is not qualified to even be in the motherfucking group. And then you have the person that is always in that space of like, let's collaborate and we should all do things together. And everything has to be exactly motherfucking fair, right? That person that wants to split the work 25, 25, 25, 25 and really be like a socialist about it, right? And then you have the opportunist, okay? So the opportunist is the best person in the pack of four because the opportunist is trying to decide who they want to align themselves with in that structure, okay? So the opportunist is who we should all strive to be. I became the opportunist in group projects after learning time and time and time again that if I was the person in control, that I was going to be doing all of the work and I was going to be feeling a massive amount of fucking resentment for it because quite honestly, it's bullshit, right? But team projects, group projects help prepare us for what it's going to be like when we actually have to grow up and work with other people, if that's what you grow up to do. So here's the thing. With the opportunist is actually the true leader, not the control freak person. And this is who we want to be as we're leading our teams in scaling our companies. Because we want to make sure that we are playing not just ourselves, but everyone to their strengths. It's not about it being fair. It's not about this person has exactly the same amount of work as this person. It's not about doing it all yourself. And it's not about doing fucking nothing, right? It's about really opportunistically aligning everyone's fucking zone of genius. That's what a great leader does. And so sometimes that requires that you step up to the plate. And a lot of times it requires that you step back and let somebody else step up to the plate. So one of the things that I pride myself in my company, in my business, and how I fucking run shit is really great team development. Now, notice that I didn't say perfect team development, okay? Because here's the thing. Nothing's ever motherfucking perfect, and you're never going to have a team that just is, you know, just dialed into the point where nobody ever has to talk to each other and it all just fucking flies seamlessly from the start. That's not a realistic expectation because really people need to be able to come together and hash things out to grow, to reflect and refine. And every single day, every single task, every single operation, we're working closer to that feeling of everybody being in their own lane, everyone being in their zone of genius, and everyone executing at their full potential. So obviously that's a lot of things to work towards. Let me give you some quick tips in team building to help you to scale your business. A lot of people have this idea in the head where they're like, hey, like I think that I need to expand my team because I have too much work on my plate. And so I need someone who's just like me so they can just copy everything that I do. This is exactly the wrong way to do it. Okay. You do not want to hire someone who is just like you. You want to hire somebody who compensates for your weaknesses with their strengths. You want to hire someone who's better at your weaknesses than you are. That's the motherfucking point. Okay, so we want to put that person in place. But in order to do that, something has to happen first. And it's called self-awareness. You need to know what you're great at. You need to know what your zone of genius is, but you also need to know what you're not great at. Okay, that's really important. And for some people, this is an ego problem. We're like, I'm great at everything. For other people, it's like, I'm not good at anything. And for other people still, it's the concept of you don't know what you're good at and you don't know what you're bad at, so you don't know who to hire, okay? So this is what I want you to do is I want you to write down every single fucking task that you do in your fucking business, all of them, okay, for a week. Write down everything that you do And then I want you to rate yourself as objectively as you can on scale of 1 to 10 of competency. How competent am I at writing emails? How competent am I at setting up a funnel? How competent am I in running the fucking group, right? And then also next to that number, 1 to 10, same thing, is that you want to rate yourself in how much you enjoy this task, okay? Because the point of entrepreneurship is to fucking enjoy the empire, right? And we have that flexibility because we can hire a team that compensates not just for what we're not good at, but also for what we don't like to fucking do, okay? There's a lot of things that I'm really fucking good at that I really fucking hate doing, right? So we want to align that into our zone of genius of what we're good at, but also what we enjoy, because this is sustainability. This is what builds a business flow that you can keep actually executing for more than fucking 6 weeks at a time, okay? So write down the task and then grade yourself 1 to 10 on both of those levels. And then what you want to do is you want to ask yourself this very fucking important question, all right? If I was better at all of these things that I'm weak in, right? If I was better at all these things, how would that better serve my clients? What would the return on investment be? Think about that for a second, okay? Because if you were better at, say, delivering to your clients, or maybe being patient with your clients, or maybe being more organized with your client work, right? If you were better at all those things, don't you think the people in your program, product, or service would get better results? Of course they would, right? If they got better results, would you be able to justify raising your prices? Would you be able to have more clients? Would you have that momentum of sales because you got more testimonials? Of course you would, right? So what we're looking for first is the compensation factor in our own mindset of elevating the value of our business. When we elevate the value of our business, we can start reverse engineering into how much we're going to pay this person and what actually makes sense. Because, you know, you might think like, oh my God, like it's incredible to pay somebody this much money. Like, I don't know if my business can afford it. But the truth is that the business can't afford not to. That's the mindset that we have in leadership, is that to realize that if you are undercutting your bottom line to save money, you're actually losing money for potential revenue earnings, okay? So we want to get out of that mindset of how cheap can we get this done. We want to say, what's the return on investment for bringing somebody on? For example, my support coach, right? She's a fucking badass. She's really good at what she does. She works with the clients. She does a lot of work in my signature offer. And she also is my support coach for me, right? And so, yes, I pay her a lot of money. And I pay her probably almost triple the industry standard for support coaches. But here's the thing. She is what allows me to scale, because I know that I can sell an infinite amount of people into Nonstop and they will be supported, right? So I don't feel that dread of like, shit, if I sell 10 people in this month or 30 people in this month, then I'm going to have to do a whole bunch of extra work. I don't feel like that. I don't have that dread because I know she's there supporting them. And so I can keep selling. I can stay in my zone of genius and I can elevate faster, which of course makes the business more money, but also gets more people better results, right? So she's worth her fucking salt, right? Why? Because she compensates for the weakness that I have. The weakness that I have is that I'm not really good at helping people be accountable, okay? Because I'm a hyper accountable person. Accountability is my fucking middle name. Like, if I say I'm gonna do something, I fucking do it. And the people who are not like that, I don't understand what the fuck is wrong with you people. So I don't have a lot of empathy for it, clearly. I don't have a lot of fucking empathy for it, but also I don't have the skill set to train it. I'm not good at training accountability because I never needed to learn accountability. I've just been accountable, right? So Liz is really great at helping other people to learn how to be accountable, which of course helps them to get better results. So I didn't hire someone who was just like me. I hired somebody who compensated for the thing that I'm weak in. Now, the next piece of this puzzle is that we're not gonna just hire one person. Eventually, we're gonna hire multiple people. So one of the things that you can do is that as you're bringing more people onto your team, what you want them to do from the start is absolutely build their own operation systems, because you shouldn't be micromanaging them, right? You should have a goal and you can ask them like, hey, like, this is our goal. This is where we want to go. And this is why we want to go there. How do you think we should get there? We want to inspire them and empower them to take action with this, right? So that they take ownership of the process, but also so that they build a system that actually plays to their strengths. Because if I built a system for my support coach to operate in, She's not going to like that system because it's built for me, not her. And we have different fucking skill sets, right? So we want them to really build their own systems, but we want them to be documenting all of their systems and all of their processes. So for two reasons. One, because if you ever have to replace that person, things happen, right? If you ever have to replace that person, you already have those systems built out. You already have a set of operations that you've been executing. So it's much easier to hire a second person into that. And the other piece of this is that eventually that person is going to be starting to outsource some of their tasks to somebody else as you hire somebody else on, right? So if you already have the systems of operation written out, it's a lot easier to do that same process that we just did where we go through and we rate those systems and say, hey, how good are you at this at a 1 to 10 and how much do you enjoy it? And then you do that same thing that you just did for yourself. You have your staff do that too, right? And that's how you consistently integrate new people so that you're expanding in an intelligent and strategic way so that you're not just adding a whole bunch of overhead without really having a return on investment for it, right? So now, here's the fun part, okay? Personalities, right? You don't have to like each other. I know that's very controversial, but it's true. You don't have to like each other because here's what you can do is you can play to everybody's strengths. It doesn't really matter if people like each other. What matters is that they respect each other. And respect, of course, is a two-way street, and it motherfucking starts with you. So if you don't respect yourself first, right? If you don't respect yourself first, then you're not going to be able to respect somebody else, and somebody else isn't going to be able to respect you. So start by learning how to respect yourself even more. And I know, but Nicole, I already do respect myself. No, we can all learn to respect ourselves a little bit more. So today, how can you? How can you respect yourself a little bit more? And then how can you model that respect for other people? Because really what we want in the workplace environment is we want things to flow. We want the best possible outcomes. We want massive ROI for our investments that we make into our staff. And that really starts with respecting their fucking skill sets. If we're micromanaging them, we might as well just do it ourselves, right? So we want to allow them to be in their zone of genius, but that comes from a deep-seated respect that allows us to trust them to execute. And now here's the big fucking thing that nobody likes to talk about. Well, what if they don't, Nicole? What if they don't fucking execute? All right. Here's my unpopular fucking unicorn opinion for this. I'm not the kind of person that drops the hammer. That's not who I am. Okay. I don't drop the hammer and fucking tell you you're fucking fired and, you know, Devil Wears Prada you. I don't do that shit. I take responsibility for the fact that I put you into a situation that you were not set up for success. Okay, I made a bad judgment call, or maybe I just made a mistake, or maybe I just didn't know something. I didn't have enough information for the situation. And so I made an educated guess and I was wrong. So what I do is I take responsibility for this and I say, look, like I can see that you're not really flourishing in this position that I've built for you. So how can we remedy the situation? How can we look at this in a different way? How can I better support you? Because a good manager, a good owner comes from the bottom. And really that foundational piece, instead of like being at the top of the pyramid, that's not how that works. If you are a strong owner and you are empowering a team, you're actually at the bottom of the pyramid. You're the base. You're the one that's supporting everybody else. And so if you take that radical responsibility and you say, hey, look, I put you in a situation where you don't feel successful. And so that's actually hurting the business and the rest of the team and me and you. So I'm sorry. Apologizing, right? I'm sorry for not being clear about this. I'm sorry for not putting you into a situation where you're going to succeed. How can we make some different arrangements here, right? And so when you come at it from that angle, one, you're going to be a lot more solution oriented. Two, you're going to show that person how much you value them by valuing yourself and valuing your business. So we ask great questions to get great answers. How can I better support you is a great motherfucking question because some people have just not even thought about the fact that they're not being supported, right? So we want to empower our staff from the ground up. This is something that we really work on inside of Wondermind. At my highest tier, my clients are scaling, right? So I want to be able to help them to bring on a really strong staff so that they feel supported, so that they can stay in their zone of genius and they can scale their business effectively. But a lot of that comes from a very different skill set than marketing or sales or even client delivery. Building up those leadership skills is something that will serve you for the rest of your fucking life. But also when you invest and build up your leadership skills inside of yourself, you're also setting that tone for the rest of your staff to build their leadership skills because a great staff is formed of leaders who are all in their fucking own lanes. Leaders in their own lanes is what we are after. That is the motherfucking goal of a strong, well-developed team that scales with ease. And this is something that you can get better at so many different foundational levels. So when you're thinking about scaling your business and you're thinking about adding people on, really take into consideration, how can I become a better leader? Because the truth of the matter is that you're only going to be able to attract people for your team for as strong of a leader as you are. Because think about yourself, right? What kind of team would you join? How badass would that person have to be, right? I wouldn't just go work for anybody. I only want to work for someone who's fucking exceptional, who's a really great leader, who's giving me an amazing opportunity when thinking about working with them. Don't you think that high performance employees have that same motherfucking mentality? They want someone who's a strong leader so that they can become a stronger leader. So if you're looking for the staff, don't say, how can I get the best staff member? No. How can I become the very best team leader to support my staff and attract somebody who really is excited to work with me, to work inside of my business, and really views this as a long-term strategy for growth within themselves? That's the kind of question that you want to ask yourself. So if you want to be a fucking money-making unicorn, you don't need to wear motherfucking pants, right? You don't have to drop the hammer. You don't have to fucking micromanage. But you do have to commit to motherfucking improvement. For more trouble, go to realunicornsdontwearpants.com. Hit that subscribe button. And remember, #fuckpants.